A very good morning to all of you, dear friends in the house, and those who are joining us online. I take it that you are not well enough to be at church, because if you are well enough, you should be here. Amen. Well, my name is Good Enough. I'm part of the pastoral team, if you don't know me, here at CCP. And please keep those verses open, Romans 12, verse 1 to 21. We're working our way through those 21 verses this morning. I can see some of you are sighing, taking the breath of, wow. Let's hope that we will make it within an hour. I'll do my best. I've got flu. If I cough, Stuart is a backup plan. So that's how things are going to work. So you have to battle up. I don't know how it's going to pan out. But please keep those verses open. We are working our way through those verses as we continue with our series, hashtag Stronger Together. I'm sure that those will hold up later today as Springbok plays with friends. We might have to change our logo here on our series, you know. But we're working our way through those 21 verses under the title, A Serving Church. What we are looking at this morning from our passage is the right response to the message of God. We have received God's message. What should be our response to that? If you are a child of God, born again by God's Spirit, you have received messages of God. And what should be your response to that? Let's bow our head and ask God for help. Father, we thank you that when we turn to your word, the Bible, we hear your voice speaking to us the words of life. I do pray, Lord, that you will meet with each of us at the point of our needs and minister your grace through your word. Heavenly Father, may you be magnified, glorified as we submit ourselves under the authority of your word. Give us grace to be what we should be as people who have received your message. And we pray this in the strong name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if I were to ask you, what are the believers in the church of God? What are you as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you just a spectator, or are you just a consumer who comes to the church to listen to the sermons? Or we are contributors to the ministry of the church. I wonder what would be your answer to that. But believers are not to be spectators in the church. We should be servants in the church. We shouldn't be thinking of the church as a place where we go to listen to sermons, but as a place where we serve. We go to serve. Don't misunderstand me. Listening to the sermons as you are doing this morning is very important. But church members are contributors, as I've said, to the ministry of the church rather than consumers of the ministry. And contributing involves giving your time, talent, and money for the health and growth of the church of Jesus. Sometimes when I talk about money, people, they look at me that you are a minister, you shouldn't be doing that. I talk about money because I give, just like everybody else. Okay? So, it involves all of those things. So Paul is saying to us from this passage, because we have received God's message, we got to live this life for God. You have received the mercies of God. That means live for God. And there are three important points that I want to make from our passage this morning with regard to the life we are commanded to live as a church. First of all, as a church that is motivated by the mercies of God, we should be the kind of church that is committed to God. The mercies of God requires commitment to God. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, you read more, or you read a lot of theology. You read about Paul as an apostle of Jesus Christ. You read about his explanation of human depravity, of the faulty pursuit of right standing before God by works. And you read of his explanation of the right pursuit of the right standing before God, not by works, but by faith. You read about the righteousness that God has brought to us through the person of Jesus Christ, and that righteousness is to be received by faith. It's not a payment, it's a gift to all who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from our passage, Paul is telling us the right response to the message of God. How does people who have received the message of God ought to live? Two things to notice here in verses 1 and 2 about being committed to God. Number one, we are to give ourselves as a sacrifice to God. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, says the Apostle Paul, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul says, I appeal to you, I exhort you, I command you, brothers. So when Paul says, brothers, here at Delpho, he is not referring to men. He is referring to the family of God, of brothers and sisters. So Paul is giving this command to born-again children of God, to a people of God who have received the mercies of God. And Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore. Why does Paul say, I appeal to you, therefore? It's because in Romans 11, verse 32, that chapter closes with these verses, for God has consigned all the disobedience that he may have mercy to all. This should have been a shocking statement to the Jews, because Paul is directly talking to the Jews. At the cross, grounds are level. At the cross, we are all declared sinners before God. Whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. So that's what Paul means here when he said, therefore, he refers back to that. He refers to all the messages that Paul is talking about from God, from chapter 1 right up to chapter 11. Because God has showed us mercy, Paul says, I give you this command. We were disobedient. We were imprisoned in disobedience. That's what consigned means. We couldn't please God on our own. And God showed us mercy. He freed us from the prison of disobedience. He made us new. He made us Christians. Paul says, therefore, present, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. This is a temple worship language, as the Jews will bring the animals, sacrifices for their sins, as they will be laid on the altar. Paul takes that analogy and he said, present your bodies, present yourself, present your whole person to God, as that sacrifice was presented to God. That's what Christianity means. It doesn't mean just religiously coming to church, and when you feel like watching the service online, you just lie on your bed and just have it comfy. You cannot serve God like that unless you are not well. If you're just sitting because Mr. Self does not feel like going to church, you are sinning before God. You cannot serve one another when you are alone in your house. That's what Paul's going to bring us to. If you have received the message of God, this is required by God from you as a child of God. So Paul says, present, offer your bodies to God. And this command says, bring your whole person to God, not just offering and tithes. Some of us struggle even to tithe. I know you get a little bit sick after tithing, you know. If you tithe, and I always do that. But we tithe. Do you know why we struggle tithing? I've heard people come in with silly excuses. You can never be more generous than God. Stop hiding on that. Oh, we give more. Why don't you start with tithing? Then venture on your offerings to give more to God. Tithing is decided by God, is claimed by God to all that God has given you. He's saying the tenth of that is mine. Then you can venture on your generosity and see how far you're going to go with offerings. We don't tithe because we haven't given our whole to God. We push back on the giving of your whole person to God. We don't like it. We prefer to bring our little us for Sunday for 1 hour. We prefer to bring our Sunday person to God just for 1 hour. Don't go over 1 hour, preacher, because that time is mine. Paul says, give your whole person to God. He requires the whole of you, not just a little bit of you, not just Sunday of you, 1 hour, and after that is your time. No, the whole person as a living sacrifice to God, who has given his all to redeem you. It sounds good when we talk about bringing our Sunday person to God. Just for 1 hour. We can deal with that. If good enough is preaching, I don't know. You're such a good congregation. I thought I was going to lose my job before I finished my contract. But I always go over my time. And you always greet me with smiling. Maybe God brought me to sanctify you. I don't know. But you're such a good congregation. You have loved me in spite of all of that. But God demands the whole person. So instead of giving sacrifice, Paul says, be the sacrifice to God. Be one. And Paul said, this is your spiritual worship as opposed to the Old Testament way of worship, of sacrifice. You don't have to bring animals. Bring yourself to God. He wants you as a living sacrifice. Number two, we are to renew our mind in order to be transformed. Our thinking process needs to be renewed if my being gonna be transformed. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So God's message have made us to be God's people. Paul is saying, let us not live like we're not. In other words, do not live like everyone else who have not received the message of God. And this cannot be done by merely adopting a certain outward practices. It is by being different in your thought life. This has to be renewed for me to be transformed. If the mind is not renewed, you're going to conform to the standard of this world. The mind needs to be renewed for me not to conform, but to transform. That's what Paul is saying here. Your mind must be renewed, says Paul. How do I do that? By saturating yourself in the Word of God. I must feed myself with the Bible. I need to discipline myself to read, to study the Word of God, to feed my soul, to clean up my mind. And I need to spend time with godly people. You know, the saying that if you sleep with dogs, you will have dogs flee is true. You hang around with ungodly people, it's not going to be later before you become ungodly yourself. Spend time with godly people. Study the Bible. Talk, spend time with godly people. And then submit to biblical authority. You might be saying, how that would help me. We're living in a generation that is anti-authority. People don't want to submit to any form of authority. But we are to be different. And the only way you can be different is when you feed your mind, your heart, your soul with the Bible and you spend time with godly people. And you will value what God values. It's God who set authority over us. Whether we're looking at the government or we're looking at the church, it's God who puts people in authority. And those who are in authority position, they are accountable to God. He will hold them accountable to himself. The second thing that Paul is saying here is that a church that is motivated by the message of God serves one another. They not just commit themselves to God. That's a starting point. Because if you are not committed to God, you're not going to be committed to God's people. If you are not really serving God, you're not going to be willing to serve in any way in the church. The first thing for a new Christian is to be baptized as we know it, and after that to join the church. I've heard people say, I don't have to be a member of the church. You can't be a Christian without that. You can't. I'm telling you now, from the Bible, you cannot be a Christian without being part of the body of Christ. This is the body. Each local church is the body of Jesus, and Jesus is the head of it. And you and I are just members. You are a Christian that is not part of any body of believers. Look at yourself. How useful are you to God? Ask yourself that. You know, it's like my finger. If my finger said, I'm tired being part of the hand of good enough, I'm just going to go and be the hand on my own. It's just going to be useless and look disgusting on its own. Would you pick it up if you find it? Would you pay attention? No. But here, if I do this, you pay attention and you can see that my fingers are all in place and this hand is intact. So is the body. So is our Christian life. We are meant to be part of the body. You cannot worship God on your own. He's not building Rolling Stone Christians. He is building the body, the church. That's what God is building. He's building the family. Not rocky Christians. So we need to get rid of this vague idea of devotion to God. And that vagueness is seen in the way Christians behave and conduct themselves in the church. People that do not have high view of God and His church, they don't think the church is a big deal. They don't. But let me tell you, this is a bigger deal. Do you know why it's a big deal? It's because it belongs to a big God. This is bigger than United Nations. It's better than United Nations because it's the church of the living God and He is the head of it. And He's building this. If Goodenough is not part of this, He's not useful to God. So people who have received God's message are devoted to God and they serve one another with gifts they have received from God. Three things to notice here. Number one, you need, if you're going to be able to serve one another, you need to have a realistic view of yourself. You know, we all got this problem of thinking that I'm more important than everybody else, you know. Go around thinking that the world revolves around good enough. I need to get up and smell the coffee. It doesn't. It revolves around Jesus. And good enough is just an organ that by the grace of God can become useful if it becomes part of the body of which Jesus is the head of it. So I need to have a realistic view of myself in order to have a high view of God's church, to appreciate you being part of the church, to see the need and the reason why I should be serving in the church. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Paul is saying, I need to cut myself to size if I'm going to fit in into what God is doing. I've seen people who think that they're bigger than churches. They're better than the church of Jesus. You know, this church is this, this church is that. They forget that this church is this and that because they're part of it. And they go with their self, which caused this church to be this and that. And they're going to cause another church to be this and that. Because you cannot run away from yourself. This is a big thing. This is God's family. This is the perfect church of Jesus Christ. It cannot get better than this. You sang True Good Enough with all these sinful, cranky people? Yes, that's how the church is. Even the team of Jesus Christ, it had Judas in it. You remember? And Jesus knew that Judas was part of the team, and he was a treasure of the church. You couldn't get bigger than that. He was the next man to Jesus. That's the church. Until he come to separate, this is good. This is good. This is the best that you can get, the church of Jesus Christ. So if I'm going to be part of the church and be willing to serve, I need to cut myself to size. And number two, because your usefulness depend on the body, the church. That's the reason why I need to cut myself to size. I'm not useful to God apart from being part of his church. I'm not. You go read your Bible and read it carefully. God is building the body, not rocky individual Christians. The body. And that body, Paul's gonna teach us that it's made out of many members, but those many members form one body, and Jesus is the head of it. That's what God is doing. That's what Jesus died to accomplish. Verse 4 to 5, Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, that is us. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." We're not just members of the body of Christ. We're not just connected to Christ. We're connected to one another at the same time. You need me. I need you. I can't do Christianity without you. I need you. We need each other. When we come together and we sing praises to God, heaven stands still and listen to the praises of the redeemed. We need to get rid of the vague view of the Church of Jesus Christ, friends. People, they don't think much of the church. Statistics says that after COVID, people don't want to go back to churches. They prefer online. Doing church on your pajamas, on your bed. Have you ever thought of that? We're serving, we're contributing for the health and the growth of the church. Some people, they just downloading online. And we are meant to embrace that. Let me say it again, dear friends. As a person that's going to give an account to God with everything that I say, you are not meant to do church online if you are healthy. Be at church so you can serve. So each church is like a body. That's what I've said. And Jesus is the head of it. And we are the members, connected to the head and to one another. Number three, use your gift proportionally. Verse 6 to 7, we are given seven gifts that represent everything that God has given you for the benefit of his church. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them, says Paul. This seventh gift that Paul's talking about there, the gift of grace, represents everything that God has graciously given us, whether in the way of gift, or in the way of talent, or in the way of positions or wealth. They are for the benefit of the body, the church, to which you and I belong. And they are for the glory of God. And this is where you start. If you want to show appreciation to God for His message toward you, you start here. You show that here. You serve here. That is an attitude of gratitude to God who has given you His message, who is not treating you as your sin deserves. You show that here in the church. Amen? I know it's too close to the bone, yeah, but that's how God speaks. This is His church. And we, you and I, are to change. He's not going to change His word. His word is designed to change you and I, to align ourselves with what the Bible says. So, this is where you start when you wish to thank God for His message towards you. We serve one another, and we do that gratefully because we belong to one another as the people of God. And we are humbled together by His grace. Thirdly and finally, how are we doing? I'm too close to your time. Okay. People who are motivated by the message of God loves one another. They're committed to God. They serve one another. They love one another. We can't love one another when we're not together. Okay. When we come together like this, we express our love for one another by serving each other. I'm hoping you're beginning to catch my drift. It's not exactly my drift, it's Paul's drift here. You can't do church on your own. You just can't. So if you have received mercy from God, you must live your life for God. That's the point that Paul is driving here. And if you are truly saved by God's grace, and you are being right now transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit as a child of God, there are two things to notice briefly. Number one, there are four characteristics of the Christian life. Firstly, as a living sacrifice, my life must be characterized by deep love, says Paul in verse 9 and 10. Christian love is expressed with heartfelt sincerity through what is evil and what is good. We abhor evil and we embrace what is good. And we do that through a culture of honor, of honoring one another, dear friends. And as a living sacrifice, my life must be characterized by fiery passion. Verse 11 says, do not be slothful. Don't be lazy in your zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. You have received God's message. Paul says, don't be lazy in your zeal. Be active in serving the Lord as a child of God who have received God's message. As a living sacrifice, my life must be characterized by relentless determination. Verse 12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Christian relentless determination is expressed through joy-filled hope, steadfastness in suffering, and unceasing prayer. And number four, as a living sacrifice, my life must be characterized by generous care, by generosity. Verse 13 said, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. All of these things are things that demand you to be part of the community. You're not going to practice these things on your own. How can you do that? There's no way. How are you going to contribute to the needs of saints if you're not part of the body of Christ? How are you going to show hospitality if you're not part of the body of Christ? You can't. The Christian generosity, generous care, is shown by meeting the needs of the church family, by hospitality, showing hospitality to any Christian that comes along. Number two, Christians must overcome evil with good. We struggle with that. We struggle with the question of how do I respond in the highs and low, how do I live in harmony in the household of God? How do I respond when someone harms me? Because we're sinful people, saved by the grace of God, we are rough on the edges, we're going to scratch each other in the wrong way. The question is, how do I respond when that happens? Don't you love God? He's got it all down in the Bible here. In verses 14 to 21, Paul is talking about exactly that. There are four situational responses here. Number one, how do I respond when I'm hated or hunted by enemies? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Paul is saying those who do not love you, who hate you, use your words not to harm them, but to bless them. And these are the words from the Lord Jesus who did that at the highest point of persecution when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This is our God, the Seven King. He calls us now to follow him, to live our lives as a living sacrifice of worship to him. You bless people who hate you. Amen? If you have received God's message, that's what you do. That's how you respond to people who hate you. Number two, how to respond to others in the highs and their lows. When people rejoices and they're crying, be sympathetic to them. Or be empathetic to them. Try to understand where they're at and join them. If they're crying, cry with them. If they rejoice, rejoice with them. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We are called to be empathetic to one another. Number three, how to live in harmony in the household of God, in the church. How do I live with everybody in harmony? in the household. Verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Haughtiness. There's no one who likes to come close to people who are haughty. Do you? I don't. People who are full of themselves, they think that they're big, they are the end in all. I don't have time for people like that. And if I'm like that, you shouldn't have time with me. There's no room for that in the church. Do not be haughty, says Paul, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. That's quite opposite to what the world is telling us. You know, the world tells you that you are the greatest. You know, go get it. You are the best. You can't come with that in the church. You're not the best. Jesus is the best. We are the worst. Connected to the best. Because we are connected to the best, we are the best for God. How to respond when someone harms you? Verse 17 to 20. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't do that. If people do you wrong, don't seek revenge. Do you know why? Because God did not treat us that way. It's all of this flows from the mercies of God. Has God showed you mercy? God says, show that mercy to other people. Has God treated you the way your sin deserves? No! Don't try to get even with people. Some of us are sick because of that. We're taking medicine after medicine because of grudges. You know. We have some issues with other people. They're eating you, causing you to be sick. God says, no, don't do that. Don't try to do that. Verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do your best to be at peace with everybody. And verse 19 said, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. That is God's job. Okay? The problem with you and I, we are not really accurate when we want to pay people. Even if they do the job, we operate on the error of, you know, benefiting ourselves on the expense of the others. Leave alone when they've done us wrong. You know, you take my eyes. I think I should take both of your eyes. You cut my hand. You know, I'm given a chance. I'm going to cut both of your hands. That's how we are. We're not just. Our justice system is skewed by sin of selfishness. So God says, don't even try to do that. Leave it to me. So when someone harms you, respond righteously. Peaceably, faithfully, and kindly. That's what God is saying here. Under no circumstances am I expected to respond unrighteous because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? It doesn't matter what circumstances I find myself, I must remember that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been shown much mercy by God. And God has commanded me to show that mercy to others. Be merciful as people who have received mercy. Amen. And I think verse 21 summarizes the whole thing that Paul's been saying. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When evil comes toward your way, think about good. How can I counteract this with good? Why? Not because you are a fool, because you are a child of a merciful God. There is nothing that I used to enjoy when, like, people say I look like my father when I was a boy growing up. That meant a lot to me. I can see it on my daughter when they tell her that she looks like me, although she thinks that she's more beautiful than me. But she enjoys that, that I look like my father. And God wants us to be like him. If anything, take this home. Merciful God has showed you mercy, and he wants you as his child to show mercy to others in every way. Some of us have been forgiven much. When I think about that, I just get overwhelmed. I'm sorry. Let's pray. Father, you're just good. You're so good that when we look at you through the lens of your word, we feel like crying out like David, what is man that you are so mindful of? We thank you, Lord, for your mercies toward us. Pray, Father, for each and every one of us and those who are at the sound of my voice, that, Lord, you will help us by your Spirit to be merciful people, to show mercy, to overcome evil with good. Help us to do that for your glory. I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.